and on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love.
Shaking, let hearts awaken. Our God is moving, forever changing us. There is a trembling, there is revival. The sound of worship, so great and glorious. Holy Spirit, hear us now.
Good morning. Welcome to First Christian Church. We're so glad that you are here with us virtually today. It is a great Sunday morning to be together as a church family. We're so thankful that you've taken this time out of your busy schedule to be here with us for worship. We're so glad that you found us on Facebook Live and are joining in on the conversation. We invite you to greet each other as you would if you were sitting in our pews today. And we're so thankful for our friends who found us on our church website as well. We hope and we pray that this time that we've set aside will be filling for our spirit and renew our souls as we journey together in the spirit of Jesus Christ. As we welcome you today, if this is your first time with us, we especially welcome you. We have communion every single time that we have worship together, and so we invite you to have ready there at your house the elements of communion that you'll need to gather around our Lord's table later on in our worship service. We have bread and juice or soda or coffee or whatever you may have that is good enough as we celebrate communion later on in our worship service together. We know that it was our plan to resume in-person worship this week, but because the COVID-19 positivity rate is back up again over 15%, we've decided to keep it on pause for a couple more weeks. We're all really bummed about this. I was super bummed about it. We are so hopeful when the positivity rate was going down back in December. But with more folks in our congregation and in our town getting sick and testing positive, we're doing our best to stay apart for a few weeks longer. But to be joined in the virtual spirit of Jesus Christ here through our online worship services. We're so grateful today for the members of our worship ministry team who gathered yesterday to take down our Christmas decorations. We enjoyed having them up over the holidays, and they look so wonderful. But we're glad that our chancel and our sanctuary looks like it does on any ordinary wonderful Sunday. And so we're thankful for that. Even though there isn't in-person Sunday school right now for our kids, our children's Sunday school is still taking place online. One of our wonderful teachers, Mike Davis, has been making great videos each and every week and then posted them to our children's page. And so if you'd like access to that, if you'd like to have some of those, please reach out to us and we could pass the site along to you. We know that four of our Bible studies picked back up this week, two of them online and two of them meeting in very small groups. And so we hope that you will find a place to come and grow in your own spirit. Everybody is welcome to come. If you come every single week or if it's your first time, you can come in and out whenever your schedule allows it as we kind of go along together. And so we hope that you will grow in your faith here with us at First Christian Church. We're so glad to have Gavin Hayes playing percussion with us today and kind of joining our band. So we're so glad Gavin is here. Our band sounds great. We have missed you all as y'all have been taking vacations all over the holidays. And so we're glad that y'all are back today leading us for worship. It is good to be together as a virtual church family of faith. And so let's sing our opening song together. Thank you.
God, we wait.
God, we wait.
Your coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King will sing. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be church ready for you. Every
give thanks for this opportunity to gather together in worship and in prayer. Because while each and every one of us have opportunities every single day to pray to our God, there is power in coming together with all of God's children and praying together. Today, we bring with us so much. We know that we are hearing of illnesses throughout our church family, both COVID-related and otherwise, almost daily. And so we keep in our hearts and prayers those from our church, our friends, and our family who are ill at this time. We specifically lift up the family of Pat Hamilton. Pat passed away this week, and so we give thanks for her life as we also pray for her family during this difficult time. Of course, we all come with other burdens this week, and so we bring them to God together. Let us pray. Oh God, we come into your presence this day, thankful to once again draw near to you. Thankful that even when we are weak in our faith, you show up for us and are strong. Thankful that when we don't have the words, you show up for us anyway and you listen. Today we come most certainly blessed and thankful for another beautiful day to be alive, but we also come burdened, hurting, scared, and in disbelief. This week, we have witnessed something in our country that we cannot unsee. And no matter our political affiliations, we were, each and every one of us, stunned by the scenes that we saw on Wednesday coming out of our nation's capital. Loving God, there is so much anger in our country, among acquaintances, among co-workers, even among family. So much division and hurt. And we know that at this point, it has to stop being about party and turn to being about humanity. We as a country simply must come together because the alternative is so dangerous. We pray for unity and peace to show up in a mighty way, a way that is only possible through you and through our surrender to your will. Oh Lord, help every one of your children. Help us all. Help us to love, to forgive. Help us to work together to find solutions and to move ahead in democratic and equitable ways. Help us to reflect the values that America has always stood for, and help us all to share our thoughts and passions in safe and peaceful ways. We pray for those who lost their lives this week. We pray for their families in their grief. Oh God, closer to home, we lift up Pat Hamilton and her passing this week. We give thanks for her gifts that she shared with the world. We pray for her family, that they would be comforted by your loving embrace as they mourn. We pray for all in need this day, O God, and pray that you would use us as tools to support and uplift others. God, today we give thanks for this congregation. This is a challenging time to be the church some 10 months after we were forced to shut down. We miss each other. We miss being together and sharing life in person together. But this church has stayed strong and faithful, and we give you all the thanks for this. We pray for continued strength and solidarity. We thank you for the unity that we share as we pray to you, as we worship you, as we give thanks and as we remember your Son. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus the Christ, our Prince of Peace and Wonderful Counselor. And we lift together our voices to pray as he taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today we open God's word to the book of Mark, chapter 1, beginning with verse 4. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We're in week two of this new sermon series called Overwhelmed with Joy. This series is all about people's first experience of being in the presence of Jesus Christ. Here in these scriptures, as Jesus was first coming onto the scene, beginning his ministry of teaching and preaching and sharing the good news of God's love, these experiences that we are going to hear about are amazing experiences. I mean, just think about it. What would you do? What would we do if we were walking down the road and Jesus came walking up to us? Maybe he would heal an ailment that we had in our lives. Maybe he would make us feel like we were in the exact presence of God. Maybe he would tell us for the very first time in our life that we are loved by God exactly as we are, exactly as God has created us to be. My guess is that we'd be rather speechless and rather shocked and in awe. We'd be like, who is this guy? This guy is for real. He's something else. Maybe we'd be like those wise men that we heard about last week, who when they went into the house where Jesus lived, their reaction was overwhelming joy. They were overwhelmed with happiness and joy, completely in awe of being in the presence of Christ. That's what we're about in this sermon series together, hearing and experiencing these firsthand accounts. And so while last week was all about the wise men, this week we get to meet John the Baptist. Now, if you're with us as we worshiped online back at the beginning part of December in the season of Advent, then maybe you remember that we met John the Baptist then. In fact, we heard part of the same exact scripture back then. Back in those days, John was all about being out in the wilderness, baptizing people for the repentance and the forgiveness of sins. He was there, as we heard today, eating locusts and wild honey and wearing this itchy coat made of camel's hair. And the story said that people were coming from far and wide to hear from him and to meet him. All the big cities and all the small towns combined, people were coming from everywhere to see John there. But you remember that his message wasn't about himself and what he was going to do and how awesome, in fact, he was. But his message was all about preparing the way for Jesus to come. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight, he said. I'm not even worthy to bend down and untie his shoes, John said. That was the message back in early December. And so now that message has been fulfilled today. Jesus is here. He is God in flesh and blood. And so now we see Jesus coming to meet John at this river Jordan. And now he comes wanting to be baptized by John like everybody else who came to be baptized. And it's always a little bit crazy here, Jesus wanting to come to be baptized. I mean, we know about baptism for us, and that whenever we are baptized, we receive a clean slate. We receive a fresh start and a brand new start in God's love. But here is Jesus at the beginning of his ministry wanting to come to be baptized. We're baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, but here is the Son of God coming to be baptized. In fact, when this story appears in other Gospels, John the Baptist is not quite sure what to make of Jesus coming. He's like, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. You're much greater than I am. I'm not worthy. I'm just the opening act, John the Baptist says. But Jesus insists. And what we hear today is this amazing aha kind of moment. I mean, when Jesus is baptized, the heavens open up and the Spirit of God descends down upon him like a dove. In fact, it says that when it happens, the heavens are torn apart in two, just like they were whenever he was crucified and the curtain in the temple was torn in two, when like the dividing line between heaven and earth becomes so thin, you can't tell if you're in heaven or upon earth. When this happens, the voice of God bellows down, "You are my son," God says. You can almost hear James Earl Jones singing like the voice of Darth Vader, or saying, "This is CNN," or kind of whatever powerful voice you can imagine. This is what it's like for God there by this River Jordan scene. We can picture it. We can imagine how amazing this experience is. And the amazing thing about it is that it happens at the beginning of the gospel. I mean, this is chapter 1. This is like a coming out party, like an introduction for who Jesus is. If he were a teacher, it'd be graduation day. If he was a nurse, it'd be like the pinning ceremony. It's like this transitional moment where, in case you did not know who Jesus is, now you know this is who he is, God's Son. This baptismal moment sets the stage for everything else that comes after it. We hear about the heavens being torn apart and the dividing line shutting down. It's like a starting point for Jesus, and it affects everything that he does all the rest of his life and ministry. It all started here in the river. It's powerful. Powerful stuff. And it has implications for us and our baptism. You see, it's like this. I mean, let's just say that you get a brand new car. I mean, not like a new car for you, but like a brand spanking new car. It has like 0 miles on it. And it's the best kind of car you could ever dream about in your entire life. It has power, everything. Power windows, heated seats, heated steering wheel. It has like a DVD player and like the back seat for all your friends and family. It's one of these cars that can back up and parallel park on its own. It's even one of these brand new cars that almost has autopilot. You can set it and take your hands off the wheel going down the highway. It has power locks and power trunk and power tailgate. It's the best car you could ever afford in your life. And you love it, and it's almost like your own baby. You love it so much. You love it so much that whenever you go to the grocery store, you park on the far side of the parking lot, like a 10, 15, 20 minute walk from where you park to the entrance of the grocery store. You park so far away because you don't want anybody to park near you because they may scratch it. And you wash it almost every single week, and you vacuum it out almost every other day, especially in these winter months here in Iowa where there's snow and there's dirt and there's grime and there's dust from all the roads and all the salt. And you're careful for who you let to ride inside this brand new car. I mean, no sticky fingers allowed, no ice cream cones allowed, no French fries or greasy hamburgers. They all have to stay away and outside. You don't even let the gas gauge get too low because, like, human beings need water and you can't live on bread alone, so your beloved car needs gas and you take care of it with all you have. But let's just say that you love this beloved car so much as you wash it and take care of it and make sure it looks good on the outside. But you never do any of the routine maintenance on the inside. You never change the oil. Don't change the belts. don't change the tires, rotate any of them, or top off the fluids. It may look spotless from the surface, amazing on the outside, but when you lift up the hood and you examine the engine and the motor and the details of your beloved brand new car, after a few miles, after a few dozen years, it'll tell a different story. I mean, it won't take very long unless the daily maintenance is taken care of. It's going to be great at first. It's going to be top-notch at the beginning, but soon it's going to sputter out unless that inside work is cared for. On the other hand, we know very well. Some of us know firsthand because we're still driving our car after 10 and 20 years since we first brought them home. For some of our rides on the outside, they are beaten and they are dented. And the inside doesn't look so great either. I mean, the inside upholstery is faded and like the leather seats are ripped. There are crumbs in between the seats that no one could ever reach. There are pennies and nickels and dimes and crevices that even the tiniest of hand cannot get out. There are stains and there are issues inside this car. It may not have been the best and fanciest at the beginning, and it's certainly not now. But if you lift the hood, that old beauty of a car is still riding. 100,000, 200,000 miles later. You see, it's like that in our lives of faith. The baptism of Jesus wasn't the end of his ministry. It wasn't the culmination of his life's work. It was at the very beginning. It shows up in chapter 1, like act 1, scene 1. And so what happens is the rest of his life is spent putting that baptism into practice. God said that you are my beloved, and when this happened, the heavens split apart. And where there was this transitional moment, this like changing over kind of moment, where every other moment after that was putting the love of God into practice. With this, we see Jesus' baptism in practice with how he loved people and treated people. How he fed the 5,000 and walked on water and gave sight to the blind and brought hope to the hopeless. His baptism was the beginning, this transition moment of now living out the calling of God in his life. You see, this is it for us. I mean, however long ago that we were baptized, if we remember it or not, that wasn't the end of our Christian story. It was, in fact, the very beginning. Like the bringing the new car home from the lot kind of night and pulling it in the garage for the first time. And every other day since that baptism day was about daily maintenance, about the not flashy, under the hood kind of work of being a Christian, of keeping the engine going kind of work as a Christian. What this means is that because of our baptism, it's not about telling people how holy we are and quoting as many scriptures as we can and posting them online, but it's about putting the words of Jesus and his life and love into practice. It's about loving our neighbor as ourself and being the hands and feet of God. It's about naming injustice wherever we see it inside of our world and inside of our country and doing whatever we can to stamp that out and to make the world more like the world that God calls it to be. It's speaking a word of love to those who are pushed to the margins and praying for our loved ones just as much as we pray for our enemies. It's praying for our world leaders and our country and doing our best to work for peace, especially in the face of violence. It's working to people of reconciliation and hope. The Christian life we know is one of forgiveness and grace in a world that is hurting. It's saying that this isn't all there is, that all we see now is not the end of the story. See, doing the things that Jesus taught us, living the kind of life that he did his best to live, is that under the hood, changing the oil, rotating the tires kind of work. The daily maintenance of being a Christian and following Christ. Our baptism wasn't the end. It was, in fact, the very beginning. And so every other day after that, through how we treat people, how we love people, how we live like Christ, is a daily maintenance kind of faith, helping us live out God's love. Amen.